Here in central Wisconsin at our studios on East Wausau Avenue. Fair skies, 58 degrees. Winds out of the northwest at 7 miles per hour. So much better than yesterday, to say the least. I am Chad Holmes. Welcome to the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Coming up in just a few minutes, in just over 7 minutes, we'll be joined in studio by the Executive Director of the Wausau Performing Arts Foundation and the Grand Theater, Sean Wright. We'll talk about what's going on at the Grand as we get into the month of May, really towards the end of the season. We'll be turning the page, heading towards the 23-24 season coming up pretty soon. So we'll talk to Sean Wright on where things stand over at the Grand and the PAF. That's coming up at 2:15. Also coming up today, we're going to continue to talk a bit about, I'm going to try to connect a number of stories towards an umbrella of the issue that we discussed so much yesterday here in Wausau concerning the Asian American family that, and I would think it's beyond that, others in this community so outraged concerning the comments, numerous examples of slurs, dehumanizing, racist slurs at Wausau East High School by the band director, who has been allowed to return to work and return to his job. There's a number of stories going on that I think connect in that way in terms of how we deal with situations like this. Coming up in just a little bit in this hour, we're going to talk about what's going on at Madison, down in UW-Madison, after a social media post of a student, a racist, vile posting on social media after what appeared to be a bad breakup with a African-American boyfriend. And she turned it into a racial incident. And the response by the university has led to some protests going on this afternoon down at UW-Madison. We're going to talk about that. Also going to talk about how all of this actually connects with the state budget. This morning, after what we talked about yesterday, after hearing about what's going on in Madison today, I came across a story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel concerning Robin Voss, and I'm going to call it blackmail. Blackmail the UW system in order to try to get the system to eliminate diversity, equity, and inclusion offices at public universities. And hinted, that's where the blackmail comes in, hinted at potential budget cuts if the UW system fails in what he says to make a good faith effort on his request. At this time, when we see the stories that are coming out, the idea that instead of advancing and having more discussion on diversity, equity, and inclusion, Robin Voss wants the University of Wisconsin system to eliminate it. Eliminate it. And basically, he is saying that, and this is a quote, if they want to increase their funding, they have to show they can prioritize things to grow the economy, not grow the racial divide. Voss said that to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Number one, I'm going to talk a lot more about this in the second hour, but number one, you cannot tell me that going to a university, having a higher education, is just about building the economy. It's about building more well-rounded people. That's what I think. A chance to explore different ideas, a chance to explore different activities, to become better people, grow as people, not to be a assembly line for rich people, basically, to get workers. Yes, we all have to go to work and do our jobs and earn a living and feed our families. But the idea that university is not about more than that, more than just economic growth. And Robin Voss and the Republicans don't want us thinking anymore. And I'm going to talk plenty about that in the second hour of this program. So again, I think so many stories, and I think we have to look at it this way, connect. You may not think so on the surface, but so many of these stories connect on what is happening in other parts of the state, other parts of the country, and other parts of the world. It's really, I think, very interesting to put it together in order to get answers to problems and answers to questions and to take steps forward. You know, Wisconsin, forward, it's about moving forward. So again, we're going to talk plenty about that coming up here in the next couple of hours. But we're going to take a timeout and then come back and have our biweekly visit with the executive director of the Wausau Performing Arts Foundation and the Grand Theater, Sean Wright. That's coming up as we continue on this Wednesday. Yeah, it's Wednesday. It's a hump day. Much better than yesterday. I was out after the show yesterday doing a ball game. I froze. It was freezing out there, but today much better. So 58 degrees under fair skies. Sean Wright coming up here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. Chad Holmes back with you here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Wednesday. Every other Wednesday, get a chance to talk to Sean Wright from the Grand Theater, executive director of the Grand and the Wausau Performing Arts Foundation, and a master of timing as always. I was opening my mic, and there comes Sean through the door. You are just perfect. I'm a busy man. You have every minute slotted off, don't you?
Yeah, that's the way we'll put it. Not that I, you know, just cut things right to the edge.
Good to see you again.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's interesting timing because I was saying this in the first segment when I was previewing you coming on, is that when you get to the month of May, it's sort of, we're getting towards the end of the seasons. You have seasons, basically, yes, that are, you know, sort of like school years, in a
absolutely
sense.
Yeah.
And you're getting close to the end of the season, aren't you?
Yeah, we are. We are. It's, you know, it's funny, though. You know, most summers are pretty dark at the Grand, and this one, you know, I feel like people are making up for lost time. We're announcing shows left and right for the summer months. But yes, as a whole, definitely winding down the regular season, I guess is the best way to put it.
And I would encourage folks to follow you on Facebook because I learn a lot about what's coming in, whether it's coming up pretty soon or even, you know, as we get months down the line. You see these announcements, and it feels like you're really not only finishing up this year, but boy, you're filling a lot of slots for next season right now. It must be a busy time.
Yeah, it's a real busy time because obviously, you know, we'll announce the vast bulk of our season here on June 5th with the brand new season announcement. But we have a few shows, you know, primarily those shows coming in from some of our promoter friends who bring shows to the market, and we're so thankful for that. You know, and those shows are getting up and getting on sale. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, whether it's Kansas in July or the Happy Together Tour or Amy Bruni, the Ghost Hunter, in October. So yeah, we're already out there, and it just feels like every day. Literally, just about 10 minutes ago, I was confirming a show that a day ago I didn't think was going to happen, and now it's happening. So that's kind of the way the world is right now.
This must be a cool feeling, you know, when you feel like the 10%, 20% chance, and all of a sudden it comes together. I imagine for you that's a bit of a rush, isn't it?
Yeah, it's nice until you have to go next door into the marketing office and say, "So we've added another show," and you get, "Oh, come on," you know, especially this time of year because that means an extra page in the brochure and an extra video, and they're just kind of looking at us going, "You can't be serious."
It's better to be, you know, busy and always working than to be sitting around waiting for something to happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Again, we're talking to Sean Wright from the Grand Theater and Performing Arts Foundation here on Bull Falls Radio. It seems like every time we talk, we speak about, just recently had some great shows. I saw some comments from last night's show.
Yeah.
We were talking about the whole Harry Potter experience. It sounds like you packed them in, and it looks like a lot of folks were very happy as they walked out.
Such a fun show, and just two incredibly talented artists. I mean, they really are. If you miss the chance to see it, it's a great show, and plays in New York, plays in Vegas. So if you ever get a chance to see it, just for the sheer fact that they're not kidding, they go through all of the Harry Potter books in 70 minutes. And the best part of it is that it's two actors, all it is. The one actor plays Harry Potter. The other actor plays all of the remaining characters in the Harry Potter.
So one guy gets to be the star, and everyone else has to do the grunt work of everything.
Other character. And yeah, it's one of those where it was fun to see adults and children alike, because the Harry Potter books were universal, are universal, responding and laughing, and
Again, that's one of the great things about the Grand, that it is truly for everybody, whether you're 6 years old or whether you're 96 years old. And again, I was looking at some of the comments, and one said, it was a parent said, "Both me and my child loved it." I mean, you see that, I mean, that's again where you're, and obviously there are shows from time to time that are more of niche audiences, which are great as well, because it exposes people. But when you have an opportunity to have a family come together and walk out with smiles on their faces, I mean, that's great. Yeah. You're doing good work just there, I think.
Yeah, no, that's always one of the best nights, is when you look around and go, this is, it's fun. And, really for us, it's great because you see these, you see these kids coming with, with mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, and this might be the first time or the second time, but either way, they're getting exposed to the theater, they're getting exposed to the magic of the performing arts, and these are our future patrons and our industry's future patrons, and so you love when you see that and know that love that it's a show of our, I guess from our standpoint, we love those shows that mom and dad and the kids can enjoy. Our matinee series is great. I love that it's really important work that we do, curriculum-based work that we do that's geared to the school time audiences. Those shows that you can have, like last night, where, like you said, 6 to 60, and they're both enjoying it.
Exactly.
They both walk out going, "That was so much fun." Those are really the best.
Any other highlights recently? I know we've been talking about so many
great
shows.
Having Cheap Trick last week for a sold-out show was just a...
They bring it?
Yes, they did. The we checked the plaster the next day. The walls were shaking a little bit after a Cheap Trick on a Monday night, no less. But those guys, they brought the energy and really did. We wrapped up our 10x10 series for this year and announced the first four shows of our 10x10 series for our next year and people's chance to subscribe. So yeah, just a lot of fun stuff going on and a lot of fun stuff to go as we kind of wrap up this season and get
ready.
It's
almost sad to end the season, because it feels like you've been on a roll. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe. It's been such a... Again, I mean, we talked about it.
Sure.
I mean, you had to go through so much for a couple of years. It feels like karma has kind of been working for you this year.
Yeah, no, it definitely feels as though our audiences are back and new audiences and people, people want to, want to enjoy coming to the Grand. And, frankly, we probably have a few more shows on our calendar than we even intended, just because the demand is there, and we want to make sure we're meeting that demand and serving the broadest possible audience that we can.
what's coming up. I mean, obviously, I mean, you got some, you know, we're sometimes if you get to the end of a season or whatever, it could be a sports season, it could be a theater season. Yeah. People are starting to go on fumes. Boy, you got some really good stuff still to come here.
Yeah, we do. You know, as we mentioned, we just announced in the last 2 days, the Happy Together Tour will be at the Grand this August. Of course, that's Gary Puckett and the Union Gap and the Cowsills and the Vogues. I mean, it's all these great bands.
And they're not cover bands. No, those are the real
things. These are the real things. Performing a fun night of shows. And then, you know, Zach Williams, a really great contemporary Christian artist, will be the Grand this summer. Both those tickets go on sale on Friday. But in terms of shows coming up, one that I'm really excited for next week, you know, not the traditional thing that you would, touring act that you would see mm-hmm. at the Grand, but it's our Jerry Ensemble, which is our all-star student ensemble that features students yep. from the region all the way over to Eau Claire and up, north of Rhinelander and Eagle River. And they have their season ending of, mm-hmm. with the academic year coming to a close, cabaret show that will feature, group numbers, solos, duets, and of course, every one of our graduating seniors gets their 10 o'clock number, even though it won't be at that. So on our stage, cabaret style, like our 10 by 10 setup, we still have just a couple of tables left, but if you really just want a night.
When is that?
That is next Tuesday night. If you want a night of just to see some of the best young talent in our region, and it's all Broadway songs that you're going to know and love as well.
Yeah, and a couple of the students on earlier a few months ago on this program, and again, they're just, it's so fun to see these and how much they love it. I mean, it comes across, and then for them to have this opportunity again, I mean, you talk about, I think that, like you said, it may not be one of these touring shows. I think you'll probably be as entertained and as impressed as anything you would see all season.
You absolutely will be. Those students are just amazing, and you're right. Their energy is yes. it's contagious. It'll be great. And then a couple of headlining shows to end the year: the Clay Aiken, Ruben Studdard tour. Of course, it's 20 years since American Idol.
Don't say that.
I know exactly.
It was yesterday.
That tour just kicked off, and it looks and sounds fantastic. So Clay and Ruben will be here for that show. That comes up in 2 weeks. And then, of course, the great Louis Black, has some things to say.
I think so. I love Louis Black. It must be almost a year since you announced it.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the thing about
it. Yeah.
That's one of the special things as well about it, because people can look forward to it for
absolutely.
Months. And then finally, it's almost here, and it's almost like the excitement will build. For those two shows, are there tickets available?
Yeah, there's still a good number of tickets left for Ruben and Clay. We are down to about 100 tickets left for Lewis. So if you
I better want, make my call right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, you better. If you want those tickets to see Lou, he's going to have plenty of things to get worked up about. He always does.
I know it. And again, I love that variety, to have someone like Lewis Black with his microphone. I mean, he's up there, he's talking. Then you got Ruben and Clay, a music
huge band.
And then you have a major Broadway show that is like I don't know how you do it sometimes in terms of getting everything in to do a show. I mean, it's not like one of these where it's like Broadway, you're on for months and months. They bring them in one show,
and it's two
still
shows,
and it's
exactly.
still an amazing put together project, and you do it so incredibly well. But anything else you want to mention in our final moments?
Remind people, June 5th, we'll announce our season. June 6th is the preview party, your first chance to find out about all of the 30-plus shows and your first chance to subscribe. And, I guess it's the true kickoff of the new season. Even if the current season really hasn't ended, the new season begins.
And when you say 30-plus, you always have to say it, because the way you go, you keep adding. You can't limit yourself.
yes. Trust me, that was a conversation I had in the marketing office right before I came to be on air.
Exactly.
When are you done?
But no, it's just fantastic. And again, we're so lucky here in central Wisconsin to have the opportunity to see these kinds of shows where you don't have to drive hours and hours and miles to see it and to get the full experience at, again, probably one of the best venues in the Midwest, the Grand Theater. I mean, it all really is fantastic for us. And it's one of the great, I think, highlights of living here in central Wisconsin.
We're very proud of it. And the community allows us to do the work. You know, if the community didn't come out and support the things we do at the Grand, we'd just be a historic building sitting there on 4th Street, but the community comes out and allows us to be the vibrant institution we are.
And finally, folks who are want to come and see Ruben and Clay or Lewis Black, how do you get those tickets?
The easiest way is to visit grandtheater.org, and also you'll find there and on our socials all the information you need to know about the shows we've just announced, as well as the upcoming season. Oh, it's always...
And again, I would encourage folks to follow you on those socials because you get so much. As you find out what you're doing, you get it right out there so people can know about it. And that's a great way. You don't want to miss any of these shows, that's for sure.
No.
Sean Wright, thank you again.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Absolutely. We'll see him in 2 weeks. Sean Wright from the Grand Theater Performing Arts Foundation. We're going to take a break. We're going to get a news update here and then come back with more. I'm Chad Holmes. The time is 2:28 Wednesday, 58 degrees under... partly sunny skies. Thanks for joining us here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230 WXCO. The Wausau West High School softball team will hold a benefit for Emmett Heindel, who is an 18-month-old little boy that was diagnosed on April 25th with acute lymphocytic leukemia. Emmett is the son of Claire and Ben Heindel from Wausau. Claire is the JV softball coach for Wausau West. Emmett is also the grandson of Matt Meyer, who is part of the Wausau West softball coaching staff. Fully Promoted is creating t-shirts to be purchased at Wausau West on May the 16th for $20 to help support the Heindel family through this long journey. If interested in helping support this cause, please come to Wausau West on Tuesday, May 16th. Purchase a shirt and watch the JV and varsity teams take on Wisconsin Rapids in the final game of the regular season. The game starts at 4:30. All proceeds from these shirts will go to the Heindel family. We ask the community to have Emmett and the Heindel family in their thoughts and prayers throughout this journey. Thoughts and prayers go out to the Heindel family and the Meyer family from the entire Wausau West softball team. With you on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Again, if you haven't got the Civic Media app, go to the App Store, download it, Civic Media. Be able to get Bow Falls Radio, all the other stations on the Civic Media radio network, plus podcast pages, previous sports broadcasts, and a whole bunch more. Thanks again to Sean Wright from the Grand Theater. He joins us each every other Wednesday at 2:15 to talk about what's been just a fantastic season at the Grand Theater. And again, if you're a fan of American Idol, the original American Idol, that was such a phenomenon, chance to see Clay Aiken and Ruben Studdard coming up in less than 2 weeks. And if you're like me, you remember Lewis Black, Back in Black on The Daily Show for so many years, just an incredible stand-up comedian coming up in just over 2 weeks. Get those limited tickets. Get over to the Grand Theater and make sure you're there to get close to wrap up a fantastic 2022-2023 season. And as Sean said, they will be making the big announcement about 2023-2024 coming up in about a month's time. Couple of stories I want to discuss here in this segment. First of all, congratulations to Wausau Pilot and Review. A judge has sided with the pilot in a defamation lawsuit put out by our state senator, Corey Tomchek. Yeah. Marathon County Circuit Court judge, the pilot says, on Friday, dismissed a defamation claim filed in 2021 against Wausau Pilot and Review by Corey Tomchek, who was elected to the Wisconsin State Senate last fall after the lawsuit was filed. The lawsuit centered on a story published during the a Community for All discussions. And, of course, there was a, you call it controversy, because there were some people that didn't like the idea of a Community for All, including, apparently, Corey Tomchek. Tomchek of Mosinee and his business, Iro, brought the defamation claim against the newspaper. Journalist Damakant Jashi and editor Shireen Seward for publishing a story reporting that he was overheard uttering a homophobic slur at an August 12, 2021 meeting of the Marathon County Board's Executive Committee. The newspaper then identified Tomchek by name in an August 28, 2021 story, and the paper did vigorously defend the lawsuit in Marathon County Circuit Court. In the decision on the newspaper's motion for a summary judgment, Judge Scott Corbett ruled Tomchek was considered a public figure at the time of the alleged defamation, and that Tomchek could not show that the defamatory statement that he alleged in the case was made by the newspaper with actual malice. Seward, who is the founder and publisher of Wausau Pilot and Review, said that we are grateful that the court ruled in our favor and we can all move on. That's one story that I think, again, connects in a lot of stories we've seen here recently. A big story going on today in Madison. Hundreds of students have been protesting outside Chancellor's office, marching on campus as backlash over racist video grows. Journalism. A lot of this stuff is coming in this story from student journalists at UW-Madison. In fact, I came across this on the Daily Cardinal, which is a student newspaper in Madison. And according to the Daily Cardinal, hundreds of University of Wisconsin-Madison students held a sit-in demonstration this morning at Bascom Hall to protest the university's response to a racist video that drew widespread condemnation from campus and community leaders. The video, which has circulated on social media platforms since as early as Monday, depicts a white student saying racial slurs and violent remarks directed towards black people. Multiple student organizations and community leaders have since identified the individual speaking in the video as Audrey Godleski, a sophomore at UW-Madison, and the Daily Cardinal says they can confirm these reports are accurate. Today's protests were organized by the Black Power Coalition, a student group that made its first known online statements late Tuesday. The group met at the Red Gym at 9 a.m. this morning. Demonstrators were given tape to put over their mouths to symbolize the way the university silences students of color, according to the event organizer. And again, that is actually a very apropos statement, because as I'm going to go deep into in the next hour, Robin Voss basically just wants to do that. Robin Voss wants the university to silence everybody. And if they don't, they're not going to get funding. They're going to get their funding cut. Again, I'm going to go into that more in depth coming up in the second hour of the program. But students then marched silently up Bascom Hill towards the chancellor's office in Bascom Hall. The group then sat outside Mnookin's office with university officials, including Dean of Students Christina Olstad, Chief of Staff Argyle Wade, and Vice Chancellor for Student Affairs Lori Reeser present. One protester said about Godlewski's comments in the video, "These are not just words. That was a bleeping threat." Students asked to present Mnookin with a list of 9 demands for university leaders upon arriving at Bascom Hall. Demands included, but were not limited to, the immediate expulsion of Godlewski, a public apology from the university, and academic accommodations for affected students. Mnookin appeared at the protest at around 11 a.m. to deliver a short speech and listen to student demands. Mnookin said, "I know the strength you bring to us, and I know the great support for the value of diversity and bringing different, multiple voices to this institution." Again, it's amazing how these stories come together at the same time. A diversity, fairness. I talked so much about it here in Wausau with the issue at Wausau East and the band director and the racist and sexually dehumanizing slurs at a senior student at Wausau East. You see what happened here in Madison, where students of color feel threatened by this video and wanting some action taken against this student. And then on the very same day, we see Robin Voss saying that unless the university gets rid of its diversity, equity, and inclusion offices, they're going to lose funding. I mean, it's amazing all this coming together almost at the same time. Are we going to talk about and fix some issues, or are we going to put our heads in the sand? Obviously, conservatives want us to put our heads in the sand. They don't want different, multiple voices to the institution of the University of Wisconsin. Students demand a response from the university within 24 hours to prevent further unspecified action. Mnookin said, given your demands, I hear your pain. Let me take the demands. Let me read them carefully. Let me think about what we can do as next steps, and I will be getting back to you. So, again, it's a story, again, that shows where we are as a society in this country. It feels as though, and again, maybe I'm being slightly unfair because these issues have been here for centuries, but they certainly seem to have bubbled up in the last 7 years, 7, 8 years. Leadership matters, whether at the University of Wisconsin, whether in the Wausau School District, and whether in the United States of America. And in the United States of America, starting in 2015, a man ran for the Republican nomination for president, received the Republican nomination for president, and won the Electoral College. Not winning the popular vote, but winning the Electoral College. And all of a sudden, his, what would be called, I think, hateful point of view towards many people in this country, became acceptable because leadership matters. When leadership makes a mistake, when leadership allows, here in Wausau, numerous examples of racist and sexual slurs to go basically unpunished, what does that tell everybody? In the case of the University of Wisconsin-Madison, what they decide to do in this situation will tell the students and everybody within the community what perhaps is acceptable and what is not acceptable. And when you see Robin Voss say, we don't want you to have a diversity, equity, and inclusion office. We don't believe equity, diversity, and inclusion is important. In fact, we feel like it hurts our society because that doesn't grow the economy. Because according to Robin Voss, that grows the racial divide. If we don't talk about it, then there's no problem, right, Robin? All of this is interconnected. And unless we continue to talk about it, continue to push for the answers that we all deserve, then the heads will be in the ground. And also, this has to do as well with what conservatives want education to be. They don't want people thinking anymore. They don't want to promote knowledge, promote critical thinking. They just want you nodding your head because that's what they think is good for you. Just, okay, Robin Voss. Yes, Robin, whatever you say. They don't want teachers actually engaging students anymore. They don't want to be taught real history anymore. They want to just have the happy stuff that shows America is the greatest country in the world. Anything else, nope, you can't talk about. We are at a tipping point in this country when it comes to education. And not just in terms of what's being taught in the schools, but how leadership responds to issues within the schools. And again, it's going to be interesting to see what Robin Voss does. I'm going to talk a lot about it in the next hour because it's a blackmail attempt. It is pure and simple a blackmail attempt by Robin Voss. We're going to talk plenty about that coming up. And it's going to be very interesting to see what happens in Madison. And it's going to be very, I'm going to be very curious to see whether or not the Wausau School District comes out and says more or makes adjustments, because there's a lot of people who understandably, and I think rightly, feel like this can't stand. The time is 2:47. We're going to take a quick time out, come back with more. It is the Wednesday edition of the Chad Holmes Show. Glad you could be with me here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Radio 98.9 and 1230, BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Hey, real excited. I've been in contact with the office of Senator Tammy Baldwin, and we are very close to locking down a time for the senator to be here in Wausau in our studios to talk to me within this month. I'm not going to say that date right now because it's in pencil, but it's going to happen. We are going to have Senator Tammy Baldwin join us. Just recently announced her race for re-election. We're going to talk about the issues she's working on, the issues that she will be running on, and talk a lot more with Senator Tammy Baldwin coming up in the near future here in our studios on East Wausau Avenue here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230, BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXO. It should be outstanding. I have had a chance to talk to the senator in the past, and always has been a class act, and always been very open in terms of answering any questions I may have, and looking forward to that. Again, as soon as I know for sure the exact date and time, we'll pass that along to you so you can make sure to mark your calendar and make sure you join us here on Bull Falls Radio when Senator Baldwin comes in the very near future. A guy that when I've talked to, and I have talked to in the past on the radio, does not want to answer any question I may have. In fact, his office always wants to have exactly the questions in the order they will be asked in order to come on the program. And that man, of course, is Senator Ron Johnson. And Ron Johnson is trying to be a leader in the Senate. Usually he's just the leader of the conspiracy wing, but now he's trying to help out his good buddy on the House side, Kevin McCarthy. Ron Johnson, yesterday, he is trying to become a Senate leader in helping House Speaker Kevin McCarthy push through that bill that he's trying to get across the line to cut spending and raise the country's debt ceiling. And Johnson said it's an eminently reasonable bill. Eminently reasonable. Those are two words I never thought I'd hear from Ron Johnson. But Johnson and other Senate conservatives are planning to push their conference to get behind the measure that has little future in their chamber. Johnson and a number of his allies are real who's who of winners in the United States Senate. Rick Scott of Florida, you know, the guy that whose company was fined for the biggest Medicare fraud in the country's history. Ted Cruz of Texas, boy, what a guy. And Mike Lee of Utah. Quite a group that Ron Johnson likes to hang out with. Well, those four will urge their Senate Republican colleagues to present a united front in support of Speaker Kevin McCarthy's debt limit measure. They are holding a press conference today. I'm going to try to get some sound out of that and maybe bring it to you tomorrow just to see, depending on what Ron has to say. Maybe Ron will be boring. But usually Ron, when he gets in front of a microphone, it's usually, if nothing else, surprising for those of us who like to think that we are somewhat sane. Johnson told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel at the Capitol yesterday, what the House conservatives did, what the House passed, is an eminently reasonable package, and is almost the bare minimum of what we should expect if we're going to increase the debt ceiling and further mortgage our kids' future. Again, when you look at who's been running up the debt over the past quarter century, it's not been the Democratic Party. If you go back to the late 1990s when the Clinton administration was able to actually have budget surpluses, they were on the road to eliminating the national debt. And there were actually some people that were upset. We can't have that. We can't eliminate the debt. But then the Republicans, after the election of George W. Bush, decided, nah, you don't have to worry about that. We're going to blow up the deficits, blow up the debt yet again, because in the first year of the George W. Bush administration, massive tax cuts for the wealthy, boom, blew up the national debt. And then, of course, in the aftermath of 9/11, the debt continued to grow because, obviously, there was a lot of things that needed to be done after that. But any wiggle room was already gone because of the massive tax cuts that Bush and the Republicans pushed through in 2001 before 9/11. And then, of course, after Barack Obama came into office with the country's economics in the ditch at the end of the Bush administration, he actually closed after some massive deficits. He took over with massive deficits, and he lowered them. And then Donald Trump came in, massive tax cut for the wealthy. If Ron Johnson's that concerned about mortgaging our kids' future, how about eliminating the Trump and Bush tax cuts? That would be a pretty good start. Johnson, in the months before the House last week passed the measure, joined meetings hosted by Scott with other members of the winners group, I should say, the far-right House Freedom Caucus, to discuss sweeping spending rollbacks in exchange for raising the country's borrowing cap. I mean, come on. I mean, Ron Johnson. Ron Johnson and his allies need to say exactly where these cuts are coming from, because you know it's going to hurt the most vulnerable in our society. It always does. Forbid us, ask the wealthy to have a little bit of skin in the game when it comes to making our country's finances more secure. They always claim, oh, tax cuts pay for themselves. No, they don't. They never have and they never will. So again, this is blackmail. Blackmail in Madison from the Republicans and Robin Voss, and blackmail in Washington from Kevin McCarthy, Ron Johnson, and the Republicans in the Congress. Coming up, CBS News at the top of the hour. Find out what's going on around the country and around the world. Then after that, at 3:06, we'll be joined by our meteorologist, Ray Miller, talk about what the weather's going to look like. Nice day today, but it looks like it's going to get wet over the next few days. We'll get all the details from Ray Miller at 3:06. And then again, I'm going to talk a lot about Robin Voss. And connecting issues such as what's happening here in Wausau, what's happening in Madison at the UW, and what Robin Voss wants to do when it comes to diversity. It's very, I think, again, connects rather easily. So we'll come back, have more. I'm Chad Holmes here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app.